Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is...
Steve.
Thanks for joining us. Sorry, as we have another discussion, I couldn't catch my breath. With the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Today we are in the book of John.
We are looking at the journey of Christ as he moves closer and closer to the cross, right? So while we're recording these and they're coming out, we are approaching Easter, and
getting
closer to those kind of gospel scenes. But today we're talking about the anointing at Bethany, right? So we're going to be in John chapter 12, the first few verses there. But to start it off, we're looking really at this idea of how we're called to sacrifice in life.
Okay.
Particularly when we walk out faith with Jesus, right? Like, and so anybody who's walked with Jesus for any length of time, you know, like, they've given stuff up.
Yeah.
Whatever that might be,
right?
So an example would be sometimes... you come to faith and your friend group changes.
Right.
Because maybe your friends don't come to faith. Maybe sometimes your family relationships are strained. Sometimes you gotta walk away from work situations or whatever it might be, right? So we all have this process where following Jesus requires sacrifice. It's not just about getting up on, you know,
just going to church on Sunday morning.
Well, that may be a struggle. That's not really a sacrifice.
Well, there's things we have to leave behind. And even more than that, it's sacrificing sometimes what we want.
Right. And so as we kind of unpack and talk about today, one of the things to look at and think about is what does Jesus ask us to sacrifice? And what kind of sacrifices have been made for him, to him?
Okay.
Kind of thing. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8 says, "The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him."
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we have this kind of reality that God wants us to be in conversation with him.
Yeah, definitely.
Like to pour it all out. And see, this is the hard part for us sometimes in faith is to remember, even though God knows everything.
Right.
He knows the needs of our lives. He knows the desires of our heart. He knows all of those things. He wants us to talk with him.
Well, he wants us to come before him. Right.
Yeah, he does. And it's kind of like the parent that's got the kid. You know what's going on in their life, but you're just waiting for them to talk to you about it. Like, you know, and you just want that. And sometimes we miss that. We forget about that because we think, oh, he is omniscient. He knows everything.
Yeah.
So I don't need to tell him that life sucks right now.
Right. But on the other hand, I think sometimes we need to be careful that we don't just go to God to, you know, tell him everything that we want and everything that we think he should be doing.
Yeah. No, he's not a...
Right? Like there's
he's not a heavenly piñata.
No,
We don't smack him with prayers to get stuff.
It's that relationship.
But we forget sometimes that even though he is all-knowing and he is all-powerful and he does pour out grace and mercy... the relational part of being in prayerful conversation with God, thanking him for what he is doing, asking for the things that we think we need and bending our lives to his will.
Yeah.
Is a huge part of the deal.
I mean, ultimately that's why we were created. He created Adam because he wanted companionship. He wanted that relationship. And I mean, sin of course ruined all of that.
Yeah.
And but he still desires a relationship with us today.
And that relationship is wrapped up in love, right? So before we jump into John, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, okay? "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I've gained nothing."
Nothing.
Right? And so this idea is we need to have this trait, this reality of love for God.
Right.
But probably also means love for the people around us, love for the gospel, love for the things that God is calling us to in our lives.
Yeah.
Kind of lined up and making sense.
Well, we need that characteristic to be present.
Yeah.
And to be outpouring in how we do things in our own lives.
So let's go to John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume.
Mm-hmm. So
nard, that's such a weird word. Sorry.
I knew you were going to say that word.
I just like...
Because I have heard you use that word so many times.
Nard.
You're a nerd. I don't even know what it means.
You're expensive perfume.
You're an expensive perfume. So Mary here is showing her love for Jesus by doing something just extravagant, right? Mm-hmm. Here's this expensive perfume.
Like over and above.
You know.
A pound.
That's pretty much what this is for when somebody dies.
I honestly look at this and go, oh my goodness, like would that have given me the massivest headache I've ever had in the world?
This
like,
is not
this a, perfume, this a ton a, of it.
This is not a scent-friendly zone.
No.
So Mary pours out this perfume on Jesus. He had recently raised Mary's brother Lazarus.
Yes, just from a few chapters before, yes.
So where do you think the perfume came from?
We don't want to know. Do we have to think about
this is what they would have...
I guess that's why it was there. Right? It they would have had a pound of it because it was ready.
So that they could go near the body. Now, Lazarus was fully buried. So the mourning...
Three days?
This would have been the perfume that would have made it palatable to be there until...
Right, to cover the stink of death.
Right?
Decay.
And so you realize that this is a huge sacrifice to Jesus, but she's thankful to him for what he's done in giving back her brother and realizing that he has power over death.
Yes.
And so I don't need the death perfume anymore.
No.
I don't need it. You, like, let's give it to you. You've got authority over this. You can smell good. Your feet
can smell good.
Right? Because that's what this is about. And you have to stop and go, how often are we thankful in an extravagant way for what Jesus has done for us?
Right. And extravagant in that, like, we'll find out later, but this could have been sold. They could have had gold or whatever money from it instead. But she just put it on somebody who was alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for all intents.
Wasted all of it to those who were like,
In case you can't see it, but she did the air quotes, wasted, right? Because nothing is wasted on Jesus.
No,
but,
of course.
But people in their practicality would say that was for a different purpose.
Yeah.
And how often do we do that? Where we say, hey, these things that we've got in our daily lives, stuff that we use, it's for a different purpose. We're not going to use that, right?
Right. Or I've kept this for this, so I'm not going to give it over there.
Yeah. As a youth pastor, I've been told multiple times, no, you can't use our stuff with the youth group because they wreck it.
I mean, fair.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, fair. But
they are hard on things.
But some of these kids might end up, meeting Jesus and going to heaven for eternity. Because they used your pool or your hot tub or your boat or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a generosity that responds to Jesus, which is something that we should be clinging to as we walk through life. Okay, the next one's a little tricky. We got to read verse 3.
Okay.
And then verse 7.
We already read verse 3, so read it again.
Yeah, we can read it again.
Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And then to what one, sorry?
Verse 7.
Oh, 7. I was going to read 9. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. 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 Oh, my goodness. It's been a long day. I'm sorry. Burial.
Keep it for the day of my burial. Right away, you start to realize, first scripture tells us that this is pure nard.
Yeah.
Right? This is the purest of the pure. If you're looking for the budget dollar store version of this, this isn't what you would have gotten, right?
Right.
You were going to not get something this good. So this
stuff.
This was the expensive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She gave it away, knowing
used it up,
knowing that there's no way she's getting anything back for
it. Yeah, that's right.
We know, spoiler alert. We know that the guy handling the money is maybe not the most honest of dudes, and was skimming off money. So Jesus is not paying for this, you know, from the monies that have been gathered up by him and the disciples or people that have given to them, right? So this is a straight just giving it away. And you just have to stop and go, what's your most treasured, expensive thing?
Hmm.
You willing to give it to Jesus? No money back.
Yeah, no holding back.
And you might have to stop and think about what is actually the most expensive thing that you could do that with. Here they're saying pure nard. I mean, they had already lost their brother and got him back. So they're looking at it going, people don't count. We're just going to get them back.
Well, and or like suddenly those things that we cling on to that are just materials don't have as much meaning.
Yeah.
They don't take that spot in our heart the same way when we realize what's truly important.
Right. And then, you know, you got to stop and realize, okay, not only does she break out this most expensive pure perfume, give it away with no financial gain for herself or her family. She then kneels down and wipes Jesus' feet with her hair, which is it's even crazier than what the lowest of the servant would do, right? Washing the feet was the lowest of the servant's job. And here she is, one of the ladies of the house,
mm-hmm.
washing his feet with her hair.
Yeah.
Like she's willing to submit herself all the way down to the dirtiest of the dirty jobs.
Yeah.
Right? Because you just imagine wandering around in Israel 2,000 years ago in sandals all day long.
Yeah.
Your feet are going to be kind of nasty.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of things. So Mary's not only sacrificing financially,
mm-hmm.
but as she does that, she's sacrificing, potentially risking her reputation, her standing
right.
in the community.
No, absolutely.
All sorts of things. And you just go, she just doesn't seem to care about the risks or the pushback. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, what about sacrificing things in our lives to Jesus actually scares us?
Hmm.
Like, what are we afraid of losing? Is it the thing or is it the position that we have? Is it like, what is it that what could we possibly lose that would make it so that we wouldn't want to sacrifice? And that's something for us to all kind of, as we walk out of faith, is kind of ponder on.
Mm-hmm.
But the story doesn't end there.
No.
It goes to verses 4, 5, and 6.
But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this anointment not sold? I love John, in brackets, just so you guys know, this is the betrayer right here.
Yeah.
Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it.
There you go. There's the...
I've never caught on to that. I have read that a million times.
A million?
That's a lot of times. Okay, maybe only half a million. But I've never really put two and two together that not only did he betray Jesus, he also stole from him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's it's not the greatest of disciples in any way, shape, or form.
No, no, no.
Yeah, but right away he's like, "We could have sold that, Jesus. Like, what are we doing? Throwing valuable stuff away? We got ministry to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we fed 5,000 a long time ago. That cost us. Oh wait, it didn't cost us anything.
It was just, it was right? miraculous.
But there's, I mean, true.
Yeah.
There are costs to doing things like when these guys are traveling and
absolutely.
Eating. I mean, Jesus. I don't think he turned bread and fish into miraculous meals all the time.
No.
He did. He did at least once or twice, depending on how you read your synoptic gospels, the ones that line up together, the feeding of the 5,000, but there's a feeding of the 3,000 as well.
Right.
So we know that could have been, but reality is there was probably expenses.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
for sure.
Judas is being a good steward here. And he's saying, whoa.
Outwardly.
Hold on. That could have been sold for 300 denarii. 300, a denarii is a day's wage. So I don't know where you live. I don't know what you're thinking about today. But if you think, what is a fair, average day's wage or year's wage. That's what this thing was worth.
Right.
So we're here in Canada. Average wage puts us, you know, not quite all the way to $100,000 Canadian, but we're getting into the $60,000, $70,000 is what we're talking about got poured on Jesus' feet.
A day's wage? No.
300 denarii. Oh, one denarii is a day's wage.
Oh, I see what you're
it's
saying.
Almost a year's worth of wage.
So not following
wage,
that?
Right?
I'm like, wait a minute, yeah. Where is he?
The going? Math is good.
Math is not good
the,
for me.
The explanation is confusing. So this was like a year's, almost a year's worth
salary.
Of wage. Right?
That's, oh yeah, that puts
so
it into
So when you start
perspective.
To put it into perspective, if these guys are, you know, there's 12 of them wandering around together with Jesus, so 13 altogether, if it costs them a day's wage to do these trips, this is another year's worth of traveling together paid for. What are we doing throwing this away?
Yeah. Well, and I love how John, I just love John. I just love how he like writes, but how he's just like, just so you know, this is the betrayer. And by the way, he doesn't actually care about people. He's a thief, okay? He's a thief, guys. I just need you to know this about him.
He is actually not being a good steward. He is being an opportunistic thief here. So, right?
Just to be clear.
And this is why a lot of times we don't sacrifice the way we could or even possibly should in the church, because the moment that you do something that is just kind of out there, kind of a little bit crazy, sacrificing, people look at you and go, what are you doing?
Yeah, like,
that's
true.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I can't, well, nobody should have to do that. Well, I wasn't made to do it. I want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to give. Mm-hmm. This year and go on a mission trip. I want to give maybe your life for missions, or I want to take a year and go to Bible college. I want to buy all these books so that I can read them and grow in my knowledge. Whatever it might be, there are people that look at that and they will take the temporary value of it in this world.
Yes.
And they will decide whether or not it has eternal value.
Yeah. Or if it's worth it to them.
Or if it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing that you take away from this is Mary didn't care what Judas said.
No.
She was doing this anyways. It was her.
And it was for Jesus.
And it was for Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And she was totally okay with what was going down.
Yeah.
And I mean.
You could take one out of Mary's book.
John, as you like to point
out,
he made it clear, like, none of us were listening to Judas.
Yeah, yeah.
By the
because
way,
he's a liar and a cheat.
That's why I feel like I could give the spoiler alert a little earlier about Judas, because I knew it was coming here in these verses. But,
yeah, fair.
But God places great value on service and obedience.
Yeah.
Right?
He does.
It's when we have those things in place for God's glory, things tend to go well for us, right? So if you're in the process of sacrificing in life for God's glory, for Jesus, and people are critical of that, ignore them.
Yeah.
Okay, last.
Don't call them Judas, but ignore them.
Yeah, don't call them Judas, but ignore them. And the last two verses, John 12, 7 and 8.
Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me."
Yeah. So
physically with them, right?
Yeah. So, excuse me. I mean, maybe she didn't use it all. I don't know. Let her keep it for the day of my burial.
She would have started probably. I mean, a whole pound would have been an insane amount.
Yeah. So here's the question, right? Jesus steps in right away and says, no, leave her alone.
Yeah.
And her one-time action here has eternal results, right? Because Jesus links Mary's sacrifice with his death, burial, and resurrection. And you can never, outgive God.
No.
Like here she is preparing him preemptively for the death that is to come, which actually on paper is not that far away.
No, it's not.
In the very next major story, there's the triumphal entry, and that puts us into the Passion Week. So in the book of John, we're 7 days away from Jesus' death.
Yeah,
and here Jesus is saying, you know what? It'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to be okay. It's not going to be wasted. People are still going to be able to smell this on my feet when I go to my death.
Yeah, well, and he's kind of, again, foreshadowing. Like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then using the perfume on Jesus isn't much of a sacrifice when compared to the life of the brother she loved.
Yeah.
In Lazarus.
That's right.
Mary was ready to, she knew what she was willing to sacrifice for God's glory.
Yeah.
And she wasn't going to hold anything back. She was pouring it, literally pouring it all out for Jesus.
Feet. Yeah, that's right.
And at his feet, right? So the question becomes for us is, are we holding back or do we pour it all out? Like if you know you're supposed to give something to Jesus, whatever it might be, whether that's more of your heart, more of your everyday life, more of your process in time, you need to do that. You need to pour that out and not listen to the negativity around you of the people who want to stop you from doing that so that they feel good about them not doing it.
Right.
Right. We've got to walk out our own journeys and give those things that we're called to give.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day, and I hope you can join us next time.
Till next time.